They found the first coffin standing upright, like a man waiting to be introduced at a dinner party he would never attend. It was August 1847, and the heat in Charleston hung so thick you could taste the salt and rot in every breath. A construction crew had been hired to break ground for a new merchant's warehouse on the eastern edge of the Battery, where the Ashley and Cooper Rivers meet and form, as the saying goes, the Atlantic Ocean. The land had sat empty for years, avoided by locals for reasons no one could quite articulate. Something about the soil, something about the way fog settled there on autumn mornings and refused to lift. But progress demanded expansion, and empty land in Charleston was too valuable to let superstition stand in the way. The foreman, a German immigrant named Klaus Bachmann, drove the first stake at dawn. By noon, his crew had excavated 4 feet down into the red clay when one of the shovels struck something that shouldn't have been there. Not stone, not root. The sound it made was hollow and deliberate, the sound of worked wood buried where no worked wood should be. Bachmann ordered them to dig carefully around it. What emerged over the next hour made two of his men quit on the spot and walk away without collecting their wages. It was a coffin, but positioned vertically, standing in the earth as if the dead man inside had been planted like a seed. The wood was cypress, expensive and well-crafted, with iron brackets at the corners that had barely rusted despite years underground. When they finally hauled it to the surface and laid it horizontal, Bachmann noticed something that made his hands shake as he reached for the crowbar. There were scratch marks on the inside of the lid, deep ones, frantic ones. Someone had clawed at that wood from within until their fingers broke. He shouldn't have opened it. Every instinct screamed at him to leave it sealed, to bury it again and build the warehouse somewhere else. But Klaus Bachmann was a practical man who'd survived 2 years of famine in Bavaria and a ship crossing that killed a third of his fellow passengers. He didn't believe in ghosts. He believed in getting paid. The crowbar bit into the seal. The nails shrieked as they pulled free. And when the lid finally gave way, the smell that rose from inside wasn't decay. The clay soil had preserved everything. The man who'd been buried in that coffin looked almost alive, his skin waxy and gray-white, his mouth frozen open in a scream that had died decades ago when his air ran out. He wore fine clothes, a silk waistcoat, and doeskin breeches that would have cost more than Bachmann made in a year. His hands were positioned near his face, fingers curled into claws, the nails torn away completely, splinters of cypress embedded in the raw flesh beneath. He'd tried to dig his way out. He'd died trying.